The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I've got something a little bit different for you on the podcast today. Joining us on the show is John Dean. He is a listener of the Rental Income Podcast, and he just closed on his first rental property, which is awesome news. He's getting ready to rent the property out, and he has a bunch of questions. And he sent me an email and asked if he could hop on the phone with me and pick my brain. So, you know, I thought about it, and I thought this might actually be an interesting show, that if John has these questions, maybe other people do too. So on the show, we're going to have John asking me questions. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll have John talk to me.
Are you looking for a roadmap to financial freedom? If so, we have a solution for you. Narada Real Estate is offering a limited number of free strategy sessions to help you get out of the rat race. Learn how you can create wealth and build monthly passive income. To set up a time with one of our knowledgeable investment counselors, simply go to naradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.
Hey, Dan. How are you, sir?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, congrats on the new purchase. That's awesome.
Thank
news.
You.
That's awesome news.
I've been working towards it for quite a while now, so I finally pulled the trigger on it.
That is awesome. So tell me about the house you bought.
So what I bought is in the Ackworth, Kennesaw area in Georgia, just north of Atlanta.
Okay.
I spent about $140,000 on it as my first rental property.
Okay.
I wanted to try to be in a little bit above the low-class properties, more like a B-grade style property. Just kind of giving myself a little bit better tenants.
Yeah.
That can hopefully mean and, you know, not have to have all the slumlord issues that I've heard about.
Sure. Yeah. I think B class properties is kind of the sweet spot. You know, it's, the easiest to manage and, you know, I think that's a really good spot to be in. So how much do you think you can rent it for?
Right now I'm looking at renting it for about $1,250
Okay.
Month. Possibly going up to, you know, increasing my income on it with, you know, pet rental fees and things like that.
Sure. Awesome. And so you just closed on it?
Yeah, I just closed on it 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Did some basic, you know, maintenance and cleanup on my own. So I could cost low before I got anybody in there.
Yeah.
But actually doing my first showings on it tonight and throughout the weekend.
Awesome. That's great news. That's great news. Where did you advertise it?
I advertised it just about anywhere I could find.
Yeah.
I did Craigslist. I did Facebook. I did Zillow, which goes out to Hot Pads and Truilla. So anything that I've heard or found in the past, I just blasted it out all in the same day.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. Be everywhere. Yeah. And so have you had a lot of response?
I have. I mean, I've had it up for about a week now. I'm very limited on my time because I work a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday.
Sure.
So the only time that I've been available to show it would be on the weekends.
Okay.
So, I mean, that has been a little tough with scheduling up with
people. Yeah.
But to be honest, I mean, I haven't got to the showings yet, but I've been confirming with everyone and it sounds like everyone who has scheduled something sounds like they should show up for me, hopefully.
Yeah. So today's Friday. So is your first showing tomorrow?
My first showing is actually tonight.
Tonight. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go ahead and knock some out starting about 8 o'clock tonight and then back at it in the morning on Saturday.
That is great. That is awesome. So how many showings do you have set up between today and tomorrow?
Between today and tomorrow, I've got 7, and then I've got two right now scheduled for Sunday morning. And
I set it up all back to back,
so that way I don't have to spend
that's smart. Wow, I feel good. I think, you know, with that many showings, you're probably going to get it rented out this weekend. That's awesome.
So.
Yeah. Wow. Good stuff. So how can I help? So you said you had some questions. It sounds like you got everything under control.
Yeah. I mean, more the legal aspects of it and the tenant screenings, kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I have been, you know, looking at some basic leases and contracts online,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't really found the one that kind of, I don't know if I want to say it simplifies it for myself.
Yeah.
But just something that I know that's going to cover me and everything that I need to know.
Sure.
I don't really know where to find something where I can get customized or have something that's, you know, a good solid one that I can trust.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing. I mean, the lease is so important. So today I use a property manager for all my rentals today. So they take care of the lease, but back when I used to self-manage, I used a site called rocketlawyer.com, and that is that's really cool. I think it was free for the lease, but you can go on there and you can customize things. So like for the pets, if you end up taking pets, you can put in the type of pet. So I would specify if they're going to have a dog, I would specify the type of dog that they're going to have in the lease. And like so that way they don't bring in extra animals. So I would spell it all out there. And you can put other little stuff in there too. Like another clause that I put in that I thought was really helpful is that the tenants had to have the house professionally clean when they moved out. And that just saves you the money of having to do that, because what a tenant considers clean moving out probably isn't the same type of clean that you're going to need it to be to rent the property out. So that was a good little clause that I put in. That saved me probably a few $100 having a maid service go over there.
I know that kind of helps with the dogs and things like that.
Yeah.
But is there anything special that, you know, you would put into your own, you know, agreements or anything that would, because I've heard on the move in and move out, you know, specify a time to make sure that you are having a turnover.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing too. So like you could say that they need to be out at say 9 a.m. on the 31st. And then when you start the next lease, you could, like when you sign your next tenant up, you could say the lease starts at 2 p.m. on the 1st. And then you have kind of a day, like almost two full days in there. Like, so if you have to get in there to do any touch-up paint or anything, like that way it kind of minimizes your downtime between tenants.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah, I would end it at 9 a.m., on the 31st. Like I think that's a good time, and that way they're out of there.
Yeah, that's the one thing I want to try to limit is the amount of turnover and even the minutes and seconds and hours of turnover.
Yeah, it makes it a big deal. Now the only thing is, so when you're, and I know this is like way down the road trying to think of your second tenant, but I think it's good to kind of think this stuff through before you get there, is that you're going to have to show the property when this tenant moves out. So a lot of times I feel like you're better off showing the property when they're vacant. So like, I don't like showing the properties when the tenants are in there. Cause they, if they don't keep the house nice, it's,
devalues.
Yeah, it just kind of it doesn't look as good. But you know, it's a personal call. You know, if you have tenants that are okay with the house being shown while their lease is getting ready to end, I mean, it can save you a bunch of money and cut down on your vacancy. Because like really, like that's going to be your biggest expense is when a turnover happens. So like when a tenant moves out, you're going to have to probably do a little touch-up paint or fix little things. And then you're also going to have that vacancy. So like anything you can do to minimize that is going to save you some money down the road.
Okay.
So yeah, and you know, and then as far as showings, that might be a good thing that say when the tenant gives notice that you have the right to show the property. And it seems like your area is a pretty good rental market because you got a ton of responses pretty quickly. So I have a feeling that when it comes time to rent it out again, you're probably going to be able to rent it fairly quickly.
Yeah, it's actually the area is a really big area for starter homes and starter families.
Okay.
And also, we also have one of the major universities in Georgia in Kennesaw State University.
Awesome. So yeah, that sounds like a perfect area.
Yeah, my backfall is it can always be college students. So that's kind of why I picked it. I knew I could always find somebody to rent it.
Yeah, you know, you might be able to rent it for more if you rent it by rooms to college students.
I have considered that.
Yeah.
That is definitely one I've considered because I know me myself, when I went to school, you know, I definitely paid an arm and a leg for just a room in a small four-bedroom apartment with three other roommates.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then those things out by room.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I think the only negative is that with it being marked right now, it's not really timing-wise,
right.
You're not right. So you're probably for right now are better off renting it to just a traditional renter. But, you know, you might want to have their lease end like at a time that coincides with the school
yep.
starting. So, you know, maybe, you know, have them do a lease for like a year and 5 months or something. Or even 5 months. So you could try them out. You know, that way, if you didn't like them, you could get rid of them. But I think a year and 5 months is better. Or you know, it really like that could even be something just to keep in mind down the road. Maybe you don't even want to go there for right now. So you have a lot of options. I guess it is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've looked into because I'm actually looking at, once I get somebody settled into my first one, I'm going to start looking for the second rental property.
Awesome. I love it.
And I'm hoping that kind of coincides with, you know, the right timing for students. So I can kind of try that market as well.
John, hang on for 1 second. We'll get right back to our conversation. I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsor today, Roofstock.com. If you're looking for good cash flowing rental properties, you know how difficult it is and how much hassle it is to find properties where the numbers make sense. Well, luckily, there is a new platform where you can find properties that are ready to go and already have tenants in place. It's Roofstock. They are a hassle-free way to buy cash flowing rental properties all across the country, so you're not limited by where you live. They list tenant-occupied rental homes in 16 different states, and they also have associations with different property management companies so they can set you up with a good property manager in that area. Roofstock does all the number crunching for you so you can look on their website, you can see all the pictures, you can look at the cap rate, you can look at the returns, and you can figure out your monthly cash flow, and you're not limited by where you live. Roofstock has a special offer just for the listeners of the Rental Income Podcast. If you go to roofstock.com, that's roofstock.com, roofstock.com/rental-income, and you sign up today, you can get $350 towards the closing of your first rental property. Offer valid for a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Go to roofstock.com/rental-income today. All right, let's get back to the interview. So, John, what else do you have on your mind?
Yeah, with the tenant screenings, I mean, I kind of got the basics. I'm going to be using Cozy for my tenant screening.
Yep, that's a great service.
I've got a lot of people recommend that to me. I've heard some really good things about it and you know how simple their system is.
Yep. Yeah, and also you can take payments on there too. So I would put that in the lease also that they have to pay electronically. It just makes your life so much easier if that money just shows up in your account every month.
Yeah.
And Cozy doesn't charge you for that. That's totally free.
Right. Yeah. And their pricing for their tenant screenings aren't that bad either.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes me feel better. I don't have to charge the person just to apply.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's awesome. So I guess you're asking, like what your criteria should be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like credit scores should be better than, you know, 620 or 650.
Yeah. You know,
three times.
It's really an individual choice.
Right.
So just because somebody has a bad credit score doesn't mean they're going to be a bad renter. Some of my best tenants have been people with horrible credit scores. That, you know, a lot of times people, you know, a lot of things go into your credit score. So, you know, maybe if they had some medical debt that they didn't pay at some point, that can just destroy your credit score. Or maybe they're not good at paying their credit card bill and they've got a bunch of lates, or maybe they had a foreclosure. But that doesn't mean they're going to be late at paying their rent. So what I think is the best thing to do is to call their previous landlord and see what kind of reference you can get. And I think that's the best indicator you're going to have to see what kind of tenant this is going to be.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's a crapshoot. I mean, you could have a tenant that, or a landlord that lies to you, or they could have been a good tenant in the past, but they're a horrible tenant. So you're always taking some kind of risk there. But calling the previous landlord, I think, is a great way to find out what kind of tenant they're going to be. And even sometimes you'll get the best response from the landlord two landlords back. Because the current landlord might want to just get rid of them and might lie to you, but the one that's two back has really no incentive to lie to you.
Right, he's full honest with you.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. One thing that I do is if they've ever had an eviction, I don't care if it was 10 years ago, I will not rent to them, because someone that put a landlord through an eviction is, I think, more likely to do it again. So that is a 100% deal killer for me. The other thing I'd look for is their income, three times the rent. So if the rent is $1,000 a month, they need to make at least $3,000 a month.
Right. That is one of the criteria I have.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty standard. And then the other thing, whatever criteria you end up picking, write it down. I think that's really important to have a written criteria, because if someone comes back and says, oh, well, you discriminated against me, or, you know, I don't think you treated me fairly, you can say, well, look, this is the criteria that we go by, and, you know, this is how I decide. So it's not... so it's more of a defense if someone tries to bring a claim against you.
I gotcha.
So, but credit score, I mean, it's not, not something personally I'm concerned about. I have a tenant right now that actually didn't even have a credit score. He was an immigrant. He's only been in the country for maybe 6 months. So what I had him do is put down a double deposit. So, you know, if the rent was $1,000 a month and the deposit would have been $1,000 a month, I had him pay $2,000 a month as a deposit. You want to check your state law to make sure you can do that. But in my state, that's totally legal. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's another thing you can do to protect yourself. I had one tenant, actually my very first tenant, they had, just been through a foreclosure. So their credit was horrible. They had owned a house, and there wasn't a previous landlord I could call. And I was a little bit nervous about renting to them. And what I had them do was pay 6 months up front. And, so, you know, that worked out pretty well too. And again, you know, check with your state law, 'cause a lot of states don't allow that, but yeah, that was great getting a big check. And then for the second payment, I had that due after 4 months. They had to pay for the second 6 months. So that gave me time to get them out of there if there was any problems. But, you know, they were great tenants. I didn't have one problem with them. So
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, cool. It sounds like you're on the right path. It sounds like you're doing all the right things. Is there anything else, or is that
for a long time now?
Yeah. Yeah. So is there,
the last question I had for you was, I obviously want to protect myself.
Uh-huh.
So I am looking at, you know, doing an LLC for it.
Uh-huh.
And I have not done that yet.
Okay.
Once somebody signed up, under a lease, can I transfer it to an LLC in the middle of that? Or would I have to wait till the next lease?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not a lawyer. But yeah, that is a good question. I'm not sure how that would work. I assume you could probably do an addendum, to the lease, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to lead you down the wrong path on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's a whole slew of other things with an LLC, like your lender might not allow it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times if you just do it, they do usually have a due on sale clause in the mortgage that if you put it in an LLC, the bank can say the mortgage is due. You need to pay us back immediately. I've never heard of a bank actually calling that, but it is possible.
Right.
The other thing that is your insurance is typically more with an LLC. And we actually have a show coming up in a few weeks where the guest on the show found that out the hard way. He had his property in an LLC, and it was like his insurance was $800 a month when he owned it personally, and putting it in an LLC, it was $3,000 a month or $3,000 a year. So $800 a year versus $3,000 a year.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So you want to check on that. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea to have it in an LLC, but it can get a little bit tricky with an LLC. But I don't want to advise you to do it or not do it. You know, that's really up to you. Awesome. Well, John, good luck with your showings and keep us updated on how things go. And thank you for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.